Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how very grateful I am you chose to be with me on this 8th day of December 2019. We're going to be looking at, is there anything worth living for? Is there anything worth living for? That's a very interesting question. And we will be looking at it from many different points of view, as I've had many, many people write me over the last 4 months on this very subject. I don't know if it's millennials. I've heard that millennials feel like there's no use in living. But there's a lot of people out there committing suicide, believe it or not. Yep. More than ever before in this country, this world of ours. And they're not just people who have come back from war. They are people who ask these questions, and we're going to talk about them. I want to remind you, we're in the closing month of our fundraising drive for year end to keep Aspire on the air. We need your financial support. And our mystery donor is matching all donations. He's being very generous and kind. And if you are listening to this radio program and you are getting anything out of it, which I would suppose you are because you're listening, I hope that you will become a sponsor and help us sustain and keep our radio program. Your donations pour out not only for radio and our TV program, but they also pour out to help me go to hospice and work with the children in my new BATMO project, which is moving on right now. We're just finishing some details to make sure everything is safe and sound and cool with the car, and our volunteers are ready. We've already done a couple of events, and we're going to be doing more. And I hope that you will help us to do all the things we need to do to give these kids a chance who have cancer, who are dying, who are having great difficulty in their lives because their parents, can't make enough money or don't have the money and they work hard to do the things they do. These are what I call children of the fields. They are out there picking our vegetables, etc. And I hope that you, their parents that is, you will help us sustain them and help them, get medical care and all the things they need. There's so many wonderful organizations that we support in our neighborhood here. And it is only through your tax-deductible gift that we are able to share and help. If you're interested, go to the website at aspire.org. aspire.org. There you will see our year-end splash page. There's a wonderful story there for you. And also you can go to batmo.org, batmo.org, and see about our new BATMO project that we are doing for children. Is there anything worth living for? This is a question that really hits the nail on the head for a lot of people in this world, especially, I guess, the millennials. I've heard Gen Xers, Gen Yers, everybody who is kind of growing up in this era of irresponsibility that government has put us in, and the corporations as well. And it is a real fight for human beings to stay alive now, as it has always been. But because there's so many of us, it's very, very difficult for us to deal with all of this. So let's get into the questions. First one comes from Harold, and he says he lives in Southern California. That's nice to know. Thank you, Harold. I don't know what to live for. I have no idea what the future of the world is going to be. I'm 22 years old. Do you have any suggestions? It seems bleak to me, Harold. Harold, I do understand. I do. And I could sit here and say to you there are, you know, thousands, hundreds, millions of reasons why you should live, you know, to look at what there is to live for. if you're looking for something to live for that is in the outer world, it's going to be very difficult. It truly is going to be difficult. I can't say that enough to you. It's going to be hard. It's going to be arduous. There's going to be great sadness and sorrow and all sorts of things in this world. Wars and rumors of wars, as Jesus talked about it. And this will always be. This has always happened. This has been the way of this world. So it isn't anything new. It's just that it's so huge now. We've made such a big problem with it. I will tell you what I feel, since you asked, okay? And if I were your age and all of that, and it was me, I'm not you. I really can't look at you and say, well, this is what you should be doing, because who am I to say that to someone I've never even met? I just get a question over the internet, and that's the end of it. So I'm not here to dictate to you your life, and I want you to understand this. I am just talking from where I come from within myself, and I want you to understand that. I don't want you to go into this thinking it's gospel, because it's not. It's just what I feel is important. When I was a kid, I knew, for sure I knew, that I didn't want to live the life that my mother and father lived. And for sure, I looked at the world and it looked frightening to me in certain ways. It looked like the deep end of the pool. And I was afraid to swim into that deep end. It was so dark in my eyes. And by the way, I'm colorblind, but I can see blue. And it looked just, you know, ominous, from the shallow end of the pool to the deeper end. And I really didn't know what to do with my life. I had a very middle-class parents, and they never taught me anything. The word college never came out of their mouth, ever. And I don't know why. They could have, but they didn't. So they didn't put money away. They didn't do anything. So as I started to grow up and I started to see how they bickered and fought with each other, and I started to watch the neighbors and how they bickered and fought with each other, I soon became rather, at 8 years old, cynical about the whole thing. I didn't know why I was here, and yet I felt a calling deep inside that I did not understand. To make a long story short, I finally figured out when I got to be around 10 or 11 what I was going to do with my life. So it has to do with this, and I'm doing it right now as I speak to you, and I've been doing it since I was 21 years old. You have to understand, Harold, if you have a pull inside you, if you have any inclination to do something magnificent with your life, then you have the ability to do some awesome things with your living. You can make a change. You can make something beautiful happen. You can do that. You have to transcend. It's either living in this world as it is and going with the cycle of the world in its human form, its biological forms, and in going with its scientific forms, going around and around. If you read Behave by Sapolsky, you will understand so much more about your biology, what you're all about, how you got here in all of this. You will understand what you're really feeling right now, which is the sorrow and the impulse of human survival. You're just trying to figure out, how do I survive? This is a really important question you ask. So, what do you live for? Do you live to survive, or do you live to transcend? Transcendence is a different thing. In transcendence, you rise above the initial body, mind, limitations. You understand those limitations. You don't hate them. You don't resent them. This is where we find ourselves. If you can live with that in where you find yourself, then you will start to live in a modality of compassion. If you can learn to understand it's not important just what happens in this world. While it is important, it isn't essential to what you're going to do with your life. Now, maybe you want to dedicate your life to some kind of inner work. Maybe you want to dedicate your life to some kind of, outer work, ecology. I don't know what you want to do. I don't know your inclinations. But first, you have to find your inclinations. And it has to be important enough for you that you want to see how beautiful you are on the inside. It isn't a matter of just surviving. You must want to see the bigger picture. You must want to see the beauty of what it is to live beyond the speculation of the human mind into the state of consciousness. And if you can live in the state of consciousness, the way, the truth, the light that lives within you, and that appeals to you at all, then you will start your own spiritual practice. You will live. You have to find a teacher. You're going to need to find some help. I'm sure you can find someone, me or someone else that you can go and visit and talk to. And there's lots of ways to find it. But the work begins on the inside. If you do not have that inside mechanism, if you do not have that inside inner depth and desire for the work, then you will miss the entire experience of your life and you will never know. Absolutely, you will never know, no matter what you do. So you say you don't know what to do, what to live for. You live for love. You live for transformation. You live to excel in consciousness, to rise above, to see things in a different light, to see life and love from a different perspective. It's very important. You can do this. Many are called, few have chosen to do it, but there you are. Harold, find love in you. It's the only thing that matters. Trust me, it is the only thing. I got to go. I've got other questions. I would love to talk to you. If you ever feel like talking, give me a call. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a big question, isn't it? Next one comes from Jack. And he lives in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Wow. At the end, do we find meaning to our life and what we are living for, or is it just fade to black, as you say? At the end of what? Do we find meaning at the end of our life? You know, some people find a certain kind of meaning at the end of their life. They really do. I've seen it so often, and then some people do not. It just depends on how open you are. Some people look back at their life and realize they've lived it for biological reasons and purposes, and as they look back at it, they go, wow, what did I do with my life? Literally, what did I do? And when they look at what they did with their lives and how they lived their lives, when they look at everything about their lives, then they see, oh, I just made biology by me having kids and building a tribe and running around and trying to, you know, finance my tribe and keep us together and blah, 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 blah. It's all about biology. And then there are those who look back at their life and go, oh, I missed. It could have been a V8. I could have had something really powerful. And boom, they're gone. So it all depends on really what you're willing to see and how much you want to see. I don't know what you're willing to see. You asked me at the end, do we find meaning to our life and what to live for and all of that? At the end of your life, if you wait that long, oh my gosh, I mean, it's gone. Now what? Well, now birth and death, birth and death, birth and death. Now, I know this is something that most people can't buy. They don't believe in reincarnation. They don't have the concept of birth and death, birth and death. But, you know, it is true. You either know this so deep inside you because you realize where you are in this lifetime, in this world, how you got here. You intuit. You have consciousness. So I'm going to say this to you, Jack. Nothing is more important than that of achieving consciousness. If you achieve a sense of consciousness, a way, a truth, a light inside you, if you have something that's guiding you that is greater than your beliefs and your theories and your rights and your wrongs, your goods, your bads, the pedestrian mentality, if you can go beyond all of that and start to live in a more conscious fashion where you are living to give, to forgive, to mature spiritually. Now, what does that even mean? Spiritual maturity is a very different thing than, let's say, emotional maturity, as people call it. I do not believe in emotional maturity at all. I've never seen anybody do it because it can't be done. It can't. What are our emotions for? They're primitive instincts that live within us that tell us there's danger over there, or there could be danger over here. They also give us the emotionality to enjoy the fruits of our labor. And typically we go way too far with all of this. Emotionality is something that basically kills spirituality. And I've never met anyone who was highly emotional, highly, highly emotional, who can meditate, who can work on themselves even intelligently. It's very hard for them because their emotions are always kicking in with desire, ambition, pride, vanity. So the first thing you've got to do is you've got to decide, are you going to live for those things? Now, they're very hard to overcome due to the fact that we have lived in a pattern, a mechanism that makes spirituality look silly, makes it look, you know, like some pipe dream, some snake oil salesman that is selling us a bill of goods that doesn't exist. But that's not true. You can't find insight, meditation, by simply knocking it all the time. You have to have some sense inside of you of love, of wanting to achieve a love that is greater than the concepts of love that most people get involved in. And that means I have to give up being obnoxious about my life and start living in the depths of my life, the clarity of my life. Now, if I'm willing to do that at all, then I have something of the other shore. I can break the chain of birth and death, over and over and over again. It takes practice. And the reason the world is the way it is because it looks at what I'm talking about as BS. And I understand that. I don't expect people to jump on the meditation bandwagon. I'm just not expecting that. But especially when you can get meditation apps and stuff, they're just ridiculous. I wonder if Buddha would have created a meditation app. I don't know. But it's a thought. You want the meaning of your life? You want to find meaning? Don't wait to the end. Jack, find it now in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Do everything you can to make love possible. Work upon yourself. You're back there. Meditate, work on yourself. Go to the website at aspire.org. There's lots of meditations there for you. You can begin. I can help you. If you're sincere, if you're just a dabbler and you're just looking for something to do, or you just thought, I might try this, might not, then forget it. Get an app. But when you're really willing to work upon yourself and you're willing to see how you need to work upon yourself, then I think you will find what I have to offer really important. Hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This person did not want me to use their name or anything. Totally anonymous, okay? So I am. I missed my life. Willfully, I did everything I wanted to do. Can I recover? Or do I wait for the next life? Well, there would be no use in waiting for your next life. You live here now. You must begin now. This isn't like a college course. We're talking about your life here. So it's very important you understand the nature of your life and how your life might work. So I would say to you, get started now, whomever you are. Work on giving, forgiving, sitting in silence for as long as you possibly can, wanting nothing with all of your heart. These are the things that bring about consciousness. These are the things that bring about insight and love. And once you understand that, once you can get into that and really persevere in that, wisdom will come up, a profound sense of wisdom that will initiate changes within you. Don't be looking for your life to change, your circumstances, your conditions. Never do that. Always put yourself in the posture, in the position of spiritual awakening, of letting love live you. Now, when you make it possible for love to live you, when you make it possible for there to be a chance to do extraordinary work, extraordinary love, extraordinary kindness, extraordinary inner work, that is when something of the other shore begins to pop up and you start to live your life from a different direction. So you missed your life, you say. Okay. And you did it willfully. Okay. I admire that, frankly. I admire that you can see that. I've had students for years who have done the exact same thing you've done, but they don't have the courage to admit it. And so they go on and on and on with their silliness. Okay, so you see all that. Can you recover? In any given moment, any person on this planet can awaken. In any given moment. It doesn't matter who you are. If Adolf Hitler, and I said this on television years ago, if the bullet traveling down the gun, the barrel of the gun, is firing off and it just touches the temple of his head, and in that moment, he recognizes the way, the light, what he's done, the whole shamata of life. He sees it all. He could have been enlightened in that moment. He could see everything he needed to see in proportion to how he needed to see it. What would happen from there, I do not know. And I wouldn't even pretend to say I know. It can happen to anyone. If you see the totality of your life, the beauty of your life in any given moment, it can change everything about your life. So yes, it's never too late in my opinion. And I work diligently with my students on this because I don't want them to ever think it's ever too late, because it never is. I'm out of here. Thank you for your beautiful question. Thank you for listening this weekend. I'll be back on the air next weekend. Have a beautiful one. And hey, make a donation. Help us sustain our work here at Aspire. Please forgive me. Namaste.